Music has been a great part of my Alevi culture because Alevi is not, rather than a religion, it's a way of living, as a philosophy, and a spiritual teaching in a way. Since we do not have a book, we don't have rules as the typical and stereotype religions do. But what we have songs where we carry our values.
Hi, you're listening to Conversations with Musicians with Leah Roseman, which I hope inspires you through the personal stories of a fascinating diversity of musical guests. In this episode, I'm joined by the extraordinary Olcay Bayır, a British singer-songwriter of Kurdish Alevi origin, originally from Turkey. Olcay opens up about the challenges of immigrating as a teenager, her classical training in opera, and how she's forged her own unique musical path. You'll hear clips from her 2024 album, Tuguli, along with selections from her earlier projects, featuring songs in several languages. Her rich voice and evocative arrangements breathe new life into Anatolian folk traditions, offering a vibrant and powerful reimagining of this timeless music. In our conversation, Olcay shares insights into Alevi culture and spirituality, how she honors the strength and stories of Anatolian women, and her creative process and inspiration for masterful collaborators. As always, you can watch this episode on my YouTube channel or listen on your favorite podcast platform. A full transcript is also available. I research and produce each episode myself, and it's a joy to share these conversations with you every week. You'll find all relevant links in the show notes, including Olcay's Bandcamp and website, as well as ways you can support the podcast. Now to our conversation.
Hi, Olcay. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
And thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
So I've so enjoyed listening to all your recordings, but I think you have a new project in the works because I saw you post something about going to BBC Studios.
Yes, thank you so much, first of all, for enjoying my music. That was for my last album, Tuguli. They wanted to record myself as a concert's coming up. I'm going to be part of Songline Music Festival.
Okay, right.
On the 16th of May. So BBC wanted to do a recording with me beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So using the repertoire from Tuguli.
Yes, yes, yes. It's we recorded a few songs from Tuguli, yes.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
And earlier this spring, I believe you were at the Babel Music Expo in Marseille?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was there, actually. I wanted to go and meet some new people, make some new connections and listen to great music from all around the world. Yes, I was there.
Who did you hear that was new to you, that was interesting?
There were, excuse me if I cannot remember the names, but there were Balkan Bab Blues, that's the one that I remember, and it's really impressed me. I quite liked it. And there were some collaboration between Wassim Halal. Wassim is a percussionist, a French North African percussionist. The collaboration with Indonesian gamelan music, but that was quite an interesting project. And I listened to some Chinese duo as well.
Okay.
And they were quite nice as well. So to see different, I didn't know that instrument, actually. I haven't heard it live before. It was quite interesting as well. And Balkan music as well. So it was quite a mixture. The showcase. It was lovely.
I'm curious, because you sing in four languages that are not English. Are mostly your audiences like sort of half and half? People understand some and some people don't understand the words at all?
No, it's true, of course. People don't understand, but they do enjoy. I think music is beyond the language and the borders. It's got its own language. And I think the power of the words also reflected to music, I guess. And that's why people, even though they don't understand the word-of-word translation, they do understand overall meaning and the intensity of the words through music.
I mean, the emotional intent certainly comes through.
Of course.
When I listen just to a recording, but I can imagine live, it's very powerful. I'm curious, just going back to that music expo, were you hearing like lyrics of languages that you didn't know?
Of course, of course. There were a lot of African and Arab acts were there. Of course, you feel the intensity. Of course, again, the gestures and the acting also speaks for themselves as well. You understand from the gesture and the clothing and outfit, everything, and as well as music and accents, yeah.
So your 2024 album, Tuguli, means you are a rose?
Yes, that means that you are a rose, yeah.
So you say in the notes that you're paying respect to women of Anatolia, including your family. Can you speak to that?
Of course, of course. Tuguli is my humbly way of showing my respect to my ancestors, especially the women around the area, including my mother and grandmothers, who's been suffering, who's been had the biggest part of the suffering from the cake, you know. I just wanted to, I felt that it's Tuguli is like a stop for me and through my musical career, that I just wanted to, you know, pause and go back and have a look a little bit, go back to my local route. It's my route, but it's where I come from, my hometown. And look at some of the songs I used to hear from when I was a child, from my grandmother and from my dad, and I wanted to interpret those songs with new rhythms and with the new arrangements, but still keeping the originality and also try to remember and recall and revoice of my ancestors through that. It was just an humble attempt of mine doing that, and I think it's a milestone through my career now, which I like to do more and more.
All the music you're hearing will be short clips, and the album's linked in the project, and I'll let Olcay introduce each one.
Edley is a Kurdish dance tune, a wedding song. It's quite funny and talks about a girl called Adile. It's a very fun love song.
So your second album was your original compositions mostly?
Sure. Yes, second album, half and a half. Mm-hmm. I think five of them were my original compositions and five again, or maybe four. Remember, I think that was nine songs. Four from the arrangements of traditional music through the from Anatolia. But whereas Tuguli, it's all traditional anonymous songs. But the songs from Tuguli, more from my hometown, where my dad, my grandmother came from, my mom came from. So, and those songs that I used to, I grew up with by listening to them.
So the songs are in many languages, though, still on this album. So I was just curious, like growing up, what you were hearing in terms of what people were speaking and singing.
The songs from Tuguli, Turkish, in Turkish Kurdish, and in Armenian. I use there are three languages there, which I find myself the closest to, and in my DNA, in my genetic, as well as in my feelings, that has got big space. I am a Kurdish origin, Kurdish Alevi, and of course I grew up speaking Turkish, which become my also personal identity. And I have Armenian in my through my mom's side. I've got a little bit of Armenian inside as well. So those three languages and cultures I always find very close to. And it's become part of me, and it is part of me. That's why I chose those three languages.
And some of your earlier albums, I believe you also sing in Greek?
Time to time I do sing Greek because there are good, Greek culture is also has a big part in Anatolian region. I do sing time to time. It was the thing in my first album, and never I sang one Greek song. From Anatolia, though, because Greek songs also differ as well. Greek Anatolians and Greek from mainland are different. So for me, it's everything is touched on, it's under the Anatolian culture and the big umbrella thing. It I found very, I feel attached to them. So and there is so much similarity in terms of lyrics, in terms of melody, in terms of feeling, and that's why I am. You know, it's got music. It's got space in my music.
Yeah, I interviewed one other Kurdish musician on this mm-hmm. series, but he grew up in Iran. So sure. We talked about Kurdistan and the culture sure. a little bit. So can you speak to Anatolian culture and what that means in terms of the geography and the people?
So Anatolia basically is where modern Turkey is right now. So that whole area is called Anatolia. Of course, Kurds and Alevis been the east of Anatolia, where the Greeks have been, where settled the west Anatolia. They called Minor Asia, but the whole region is Anatolia, and I believe there is a wholeness inside. So I cannot put these borders anywhere. But of course, my music, and I do, when I say I'm Anatolian, of course, my music reflects my own personality, which is Kurdish Alevi. And I am doing what I do with my Kurdish and Alevi soul, and from my own perspective and my own window. But the Anatolia is the region of whole. Of course, some part is called Mesopotamia as well, but it's a little bit down Mesopotamia. But modern Turkey now is used to be called Anatolia.
And the Alevi culture, which is quite ancient, mm-hmm. growing up with that, can you impart some mm-hmm. of that to us?
Of course, music has been a great part of my Alevi culture because Alevi is not rather than a religion. It's a way of living, as a philosophy, and a spiritual teaching in a way. Since we do not have a book, we don't. Have rules as you know the typical and stereotype religions do, but what we have songs where we carry our values and a way of looking at the world, and our ethics and values carried in those songs, devotional songs, and we have gatherings. Where we sing these devotional songs, and we carry our and remember our values of our belief in these ceremonies, and we do this with instrument called saz, bağlama, and singing men and women together, and music. And there is a spiritual dancing as well, and being part of it. So music has got the very big part in my culture in that sense, music and literature in my religion. So that's why you see everybody, maybe 90% of Alevis plays bağlama, and then in any gatherings, if see three or four Alevi gets together, they start playing saz and sing these songs, because these songs are not separate from our daily life. It's not like it's got a different agenda. It's got their agendas is our day-to-day practices, and talks about our emotions, talks about our ethics, when I talk to, when I walk outside, when I eat, when I speak to people, walk on the street. So it's really a philosophy that helps you with your daily living as well. So that's why it's really important and we see it's necessary to remind that to ourselves and every moment possible. So yes, it's very, very important, music in my culture.
Beautiful.
And the third song is called Ötme Bülbül, Nightingale, Do Not Sing Nightingale. And nightingale is a very important symbol in Alevi music. It symbolizes us, actually, and whose aim in life constantly to get closer to the divine and try to be a wise person. And nightingale singing is always resembled and symbolized to our yearning as we are away from the divine and we are trying to get close to it. It's very profound Alevi poet. Pir Sultan Abdal has lived in 15th century. The lyrics belong to him. And I wanted to do a version of that, devotional song of Alevi culture.
When you perform, you don't normally play the balama.
I don't play balama. I do play now. I'm planning to play on the stage very soon. And I started having balama in my performances on my stage as well. For the reason, I just wanted to try something different in my music. That was a choice in my first and second album. I did not use balama, but I used other instruments because as a musician, I lived in diaspora so many years and studied here. I just wanted to give a different taste to my music by using modern instruments. But there's definitely, but I never lost originality, try to change or completely give a different sense or the feelings to music, but I will bring the balama. I'm planning, and with tubuli, as I said, it's a cornerstone for me, I think I'd like to hear balama more and more, and I will.
Mm-hmm. So your co-arranger guitarist, let me get his name right, Lusardi
Ignacio
Monteverde. So he plays flamenco.
Ignacio is a flamenco guitarist. Yes, this is he's got his solo albums, and he's a composer as well, which I've been collaborating with him in a few years. I thought Ignacio's soul will really suit these songs because in my second album I worked with different producers, friends also. Which I used to play and I did the album together because I thought that the soul of those songs were really could be really created by these musicians, but Ignacio's soul is just really fit with these songs, and I wanted to do these songs with Ignacio, and I think I managed to create what I wanted to. By working with Ignacio, Kurdish classical traditional song. It's called Aydilbere. It's again profound Kurdish poet Fekir Teyran wrote that song, his lyrics, and it's one of the most famous Kurdish traditional song, and I wanted to do a version of it.
I love the arrangements on this album. Yeah, I think they're great.
Thank you so much. I want to be as minimal as possible, not changing and using very small lineup, but at the same time, so try to be a bit different. You know, looking at my music, and thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Could we talk about the opening track?
Of course, Husna is a track. It's woman theme track. So I used to hear this song from my grandmother, from my mom, and actually from many other, because it talks about it has a sad story of a girl who's been forced to get married to a son of a lord. It's called A. Of course, father did not want that to happen, but there was a big social pressure on him. And whereas sometimes so ordinary people don't have any word over lords, you know, the word of lords. And it was kind of arranged by him, and the girl has been taken. But unfortunately, he's been treated so badly, and father and family tried to get her back, and could not manage. And finally, Husna has been, he passed away, died because of the mistreatment. After 6 months, because she was deeply in grief and suffering, and she died, and the family, they saw that she's dying, and then let her go back to her family. And then Husna gave her willing, saying to that, it's my will that please make sure that's happening. That everybody should be getting married to whoever they want to get married. So this has happened to me. I really wish that it does not happen to anyone else. I think the sad story of Husna, and she was a very very popular girl, very beautiful girl, and the sad story of hers became like a legend, and is put into a song, and it's carried and sung by many people, and still story is just touch the hearts of people. So I used to hear this song from my grandmothers, because this song is sharing, it's not just Husna's story, but many other girls from the region. It's my mom, even, you know, my grandmother, and many other women that I met, I know from their generation, share the same story. Maybe it's not the same extent, but in some extent they did the marriages, you know, which they did not want to be in, through the social pressures, family pressure, and they had to leave the life that they were not really planning and imagining. And they had to be in the relationship and this marriage for the sake of, again, for the responsibility of a woman, because you're a woman, and then the expectation of the society that whatever happened, you're a woman, you have to do, you have to keep it going, you have to keep it, to maintain the family and be silent. This sad story of Husna is shared by many other women. I just wanted to put that in my album. Thank you.
So could we talk about your childhood in Turkey before you immigrated to the UK?
Yeah, I was in Turkey for the age of... I was born in Gaziantep, the Syrian border, the other side of the Syrian border, where I used to have a lot of... I used to have lots of different cultures, and especially Arabs. We had lots of Arab neighbors and Turkish neighbors, and I remember we have Armenian in the region as well, and Kurds, of course. It was quite diverse in that sense, and I used to live there until the age of 12, and then we moved somewhere else, which is via. Because of the financial issues, my family wanted to have a better life for us, and we moved somewhere else. And then he decided to move to UK again for a better life for his children. And then we joined him after a few years, and I started living here. But it was always on the road. My life was always on the road. We never settled anywhere else more than in Turkey, more than like a few years. But I've been living in London, and more than I used to live in Turkey. Basically, I spent most of my life here, and my family as well. Their history is always they were on the road. They were like migrating from one place to another. So yeah.
So immigrating as a teenager is hard for anyone, but you didn't know the language either.
Of course, no word of English. It wasn't easy, of course. And a few 5-6 years of coming here was lost because of the adaptation. So I just became a baby again because that age, the age that you're just trying to find yourself. And you don't know what you want from life, and it's just like all the hormones and everything, 17-year-old. And then you just go back to beginning and start learning the language, and then try to get the idea of what you want to do in life. And I don't know. So it was really, really difficult. And for 5-6 years, I don't even remember, you know. Just I think it was a constant struggle of trying to fit myself within where I am. And then I managed to do that, luckily. I managed, and I started, I managed to study music with the help of a friend who thought that I'm a great singer and I should be studying music. So there were a lot of help, and I thank him for that. And then I did, I raised that awareness, and I studied music. Music was always in me. You know, it did not came that point, but you know, that courage of doing that, and then I studied music and I carried on. And then Gayrı, a Levi devotional song, lyrics by Ruhsati, a folk poet lived in the 17th century. It talks about the meaning of life and our short life and our existence, you know. And I'm trying to remember what else. And I've got Nare. Nare is an Armenian song from Anatolia. Hayk Yazcian played the oud for that song. He lives in Athens. He's Syrian Armenian, but he's from actually he's Anatolian Armenian. But then they've been forced to live in Syria, and then he moved to Greece. And Hayk played the oud on that song. Mazen artsa ki
So you were studying like classical singing, opera at the beginning?
Yes, I studied opera.
Hi, just a quick break from the episode. I want to let you know about some other episodes. I've linked directly to this one, which I think may interest you. With Omo Bello, Sophie Lukacs, Gilad Weiss, Shahryar Jamshidi, Ali Omar El Farouk, and Shirley Kazuyo Muramoto, among so many since 2021. It's a joy to be able to bring these meaningful conversations to you, but this project costs me quite a bit of money and lots of time. Please support the series through either my merchandise store or on my Ko-fi page. You'll find the links in the show notes. For the merch, it features a unique design by artist Steffi Kelly, and you can browse clothes, notebooks, mugs, and more, everything printed on demand. On my Ko-fi page, you can buy me one coffee or every month. You'll also find the link to sign up for my newsletter, where you'll get access to exclusive information about upcoming guests. Finally, if you're finding this episode interesting, please text it to a friend. Thanks.
Yes, I studied opera, Western classical music, because that was only option for me. As I said, it was a door for me that I can get out myself from the situation. Then, luckily, I got accepted, and I started studying, and I enjoyed. I love classical music and classical singing as well, which I did like six or seven years. During the time of university I did, and I stopped as thought it was enough for me, and I wanted to do my own music, and I formed my band, and I started working through my first album.
So in those early years when you first immigrated, is music one of the things that helped you through that?
Of course. Music has always been a way of escaping and where I heal myself, where I express myself the way that I want, and where I feel myself most free and safe. Music has always been in my life, even though the first years of migrating here, I was looking for like musicians. Where are the musicians in my community though? Where are the musicians? But who are they? What can I do? And I did join some community band, and I tried to be part of it, make connections, and make those moments, those years or months of my life is easier. For me, or more enjoyable for me, more culpable.
I believe on your first album you have a song for your primary school teacher.
That's actually, it's not in the album, but yes, I mentioned that this was my first song, my first song that I composed to my primary school teacher. And because I used to love her a lot, she was like a second mother to me. She was impressed when she heard my singing.
has she heard any of your recorded work now?
Oh yes, after so many years, she got contacted to me saying that actually I had a concert in Turkey in March last month. She was going to come to that. She contacted me saying that I want to see you on the stage. But sadly, she couldn't make it because she's living in a different city. She was going to make the effort to come and see me. But yes, she writes to me, time to time.
Okay, so you'd written that song as a child?
Yes. I was around 6 year old. Seven year old, yeah. Maybe 6, 7.
Well, I was curious. So you're teaching now. You have this sort of online teaching.
I am a teacher as well. After the university, I studied education and teaching, and I've got the certificate. I used to work as a teacher as well, music teacher. But recently I stopped for the reason that I want to spend more time in music. But now I'm going to do some, hopefully planning, doing some online teaching if I can.
Yeah, I was curious in terms of vocal coaching, the types of things you...
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So it's more, this route that I want to go develop myself more rather than teaching kids. Just more into voice, more into vocal and techniques and and help people that who needs that, adults actually, who needs to, or who wants to develop in this field.
Do you have trouble memorizing lyrics, or what do you do when you forget the words?
On the stage, you mean? I try to cover. It happens, of course. But one way is just keeping the lyrics, of course, in front of you. But when I forget the lyrics, just try to cover, and I repeat the words that I know. It's just, but there is, of course, easier. But it is easier when you sing in front of the people that who do not understand the language that you speak, of course. But it becomes, I get a little bit more anxious in front of the people who understand the language. It's just normal. But it happens. We're all human. We can forget things. But the most important thing is just how to cover it. And people, they understand that. As long as that it does not reflect to the overall performance, it's okay. It's Taltala. Taltala is an Armenian, Anatolian Armenian folk song.
And do you normally talk to the audience before a song about the meaning or afterwards?
It really depends on where I perform, and depend on the audience as well. And some audience, they do not like to hear the song, the meaning of the song. They just, and you understand that audience. And audience wants more talking. Yes, I do explain. But there is not a method for me in that sense. I give an overall, or people do know, of course, but that's why they choose to come to my concert. Then I give a little bit of overall the briefing, the more detailed information. And I get the I look at the response of the audience. So if I feel that they want to hear more, of course, I make that more frequent, like before every song, maybe every couple of songs. But if I feel that people want to hear more music, so I just give a brief info for each song, but not every time. I don't stop the music every time, every 2-3 songs. I just give a bit of information. And I do group the songs as well. Mm-hmm. And when I do give information, people do understand for the next 2-3 songs are going to be, you know, what it's about. It's really depend.
So your second album, Ruya, is how you say it?
Ruya.
Ruya. So is there a song from Ruya you'd like people to hear a clip of?
Yes, I'd really like people to listen to Yar Dedi, which is my composition. And I wrote this song with an inspiration of my Alevi belief, where I talk about love. But love is not to another person, but love beyond, beyond that. So you can play that clip to people.
Bana dedi, yüreğime han
for your own songwriting, do the lyrics come first or the music?
Again, it depends. Sometimes I comes both. Sometimes I work on music that I created and I expand it on a theme that I found. Or some when I do music to the poem that I just, the words that inspires me, then I create the music. So it's different.
Now, you got funding from Help Musicians UK during the pandemic?
Yes, during the pandemic, they were funding musicians that has been affected the most during pandemics. And I had a project at the time, and I was thinking, what should I do? What should I do? Actually, I worked a lot in pandemic. I really worked a lot. And that sense, so it's really, you know, helped me, and thank them. I had like four songs I did, and it was all remotely recorded, and all this process of the song making was remotely, and of course it took a lot of time as well. I did a project. I proposed a project to Help Musicians UK, and they accepted it. They at the time they founded 40 musicians, and I was one of them.
So you have an EP from that time, right?
Yes, that was EP. Yeah. I did an EP. It's called Içeride, Inside. Of course, this EP is done with the feeling of a completely different feeling of being in that sort of dystopic world, you know. That's why all the arrangements, the songs were just, it was kind of a reflection of how I was feeling at the time.
I believe Lost Child is on that one.
Lost Child was on that one. But Lost Child, which I finished during pandemic, like it gave the final shape. But the lyrics that I started working before, during the Syrian war. During the Syrian war, I think I started writing the lyrics, a few lyrics. I was watching a TV and I saw a girl, a Yazidi girl. Was crying, screaming, and over the death of her father. And then that just really touched my heart a lot. That the little girl screaming, and I wrote down a few words. And then I expanded it, and I managed to finalize it over pandemic, and I recorded that one.
A duduk in that arrangement.
Duduk, yes, there's a duduk in the arrangement.
Very beautiful, evocative sound. So, mm-hmm. And that player was actually in Armenia?
The duduk player, you mean? No, that's a Turkish one. But in my last album, Tuguli, the duduk player I worked, he's Armenian. Arsen Petrosyan. He played in Adana, and he played in, where he played also, I think he played in Taltala as well. Yeah, he played in Taltala too.
So to close this out, I thought it might be interesting to talk about other creative outlets. Like, do you draw or cook, or are there other things you do?
This is a very good question, because I ask myself, what do I like? What else do I like to do? You know, of course there's many, but is there anything else that I have passion as well? And I try to find out what it was. And I think I discovered that I like cooking a lot. especially cooking and baking as well. It's something that it really relaxes me. It's like a meditation. And I like to create, like put things and try new things without looking at the recipes. So it's just, because I don't use any of these like measurements in my cooking anyway. Cooking something, baking and cooking something that I really like to get more into it. Yeah, I find it fascinating, you know, putting all these ingredients and creating something. So I think it's an art as well.
For sure. What are some of the flavors you really like to use?
In terms of flavors, so I'm not being really adventurous. I'm keeping my own spices and flavors, but I try different ingredients for baking. So I'd like to put everything with like all the seeds and the oat and different type of oils. Like we use avocado oil and coconut oil. So I'm not saying that I have a long history on that, but recently I discovered that part of myself. I'm sure that I will do more and more.
Okay.
Of course.
Anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, there's a performance coming up, Songline. Performance coming up for me. This is important on the 16th, and also I will be part of the Music Port Festival, which is happening in York in October. Those two festivals are quite important festivals in the UK for world music listeners. I hope anyone that listening to your show can make, or if they're around, they can come and we can meet. Just one point, I would like, if you can put my Bandcamp link when people, if they want to buy the album, that would be great if they can buy from the Bandcamp, because I believe Bandcamp is just great by helping and giving all the most of the revenues to artists, so it really helps. So I appreciate if people can go to my Bandcamp, and if they want to buy the album, buy from my Bandcamp account.
And all your albums are on your Bandcamp?
Yes, they're all. Even the EP, HID, is there as well. Yeah, they can have access to all my releases.
Yes, this will definitely be linked in the show notes.
And, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for this today. Really appreciated.
Well, thank you so much. And for inviting me, it was a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you very much for listening to my music, enjoying it and touching your heart. So I really appreciate that.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share this with your friends and check out episodes you may have missed at leahroseman.com. If you could buy me a coffee to support this series, that would be wonderful. I'm an independent podcaster and I really do need the help of my listeners. All the links are in the show notes. The podcast theme music was written by Nick Cold. Have a wonderful week.